Brothers and sisters in Christ, good morning. It is wonderful to be gathered in the house of the Lord today, and especially today, as it is now, it's today's school Sunday when we're celebrating the ministry of our school and all the children. We got a bunch of kids here that are going to be singing for us later, and then after, and they're going to be collecting the offering, and they're going to be, I don't know what they're doing. They're doing a bunch of stuff during the service today. I'm not sure they're collecting the offering all of a sudden. Anyway, but the thing is that we are going to, and then after the service today, everybody's invited to go up to the trunk or treat, even if you didn't bring a costume. All right? No, but if you come on up to the trunk or treat, it's a great opportunity to fellowship with people. The people from the community will be there. We can talk to people, get to know people. It'll be a wonderful time had by all. And so, but right now, it is time for us to turn our heads toward God. We are here in the house of our Lord. And, you know, in Psalm, David said, I was glad when it was said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And that's saying something because we all know how comfortable pillows are, you know. And, you know, getting up and saying, I'm glad to do so actually means a bit because it's a bit of a sacrifice to get here on these days. But it's a sacrifice we gladly make because we know that the God of all creation meets us here. The Jesus who died on the cross so that we could be saved meets us here. The one who went before us into heaven to go and prepare a place for us meets us here. And that we get to remember the day that we were brought into his kingdom in our baptism. We are fed with the gift of Holy Communion. We are fed through his word. Our God is here and we need him so badly. All right, so let us begin our worship service, remembering our baptism as we open in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you call us to be your own, that you invite us to come into your presence, and that while we were still sinners, you died for us, that we might belong to you. I thank you for the wonderful community we have here. I pray you continue to bless us with opportunities to get to know each other. Pray that you bless our event that will be happening later. All these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto each and every one of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
For your testing. Spirit, Holy One. Thank the Lord, oh my soul, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord, oh my soul, thank the Lord. I will worship you. I will bless your name forever. I will worship you. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless the Lord.
You are amazing, God. Our first reading is from Hebrews 4, 1 through 13. Therefore, since the promise of eternity is rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to fall short of it. For we also have had good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was no value to them, because they did not share the faith to those who obeyed. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declare on oath in my anger that shall never enter my rest. And yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the 7 days in these words. On the seventh day, God rested from all his work. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as the passage already quoted, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts.
For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account.
Our sermon scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 10th chapter. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible with God." Then Peter spoke up, "We have left everything to follow you." "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." At this time, I invite the children forward for a children's message.
Hello, everyone. Come on up. Take a seat. There are some super fun costumes today. This is awesome. All right, come take a seat. Come on up. Oh my goodness, I'm so excited to have everybody here today. All right, it's a fun day today because what is after church?
Trunk or treat.
Is anybody a little impatient to wait until trunk or treat? Anybody? Anybody? All right. Well, we're going to practice something today. There is a word. Sadie, would you go over to our sign over there? This is the school theme for this year. And there's a word in dark purple at the top of that sign. Sadie's standing over. Bluish, purplish. Okay? That word is endure. Anybody know what endure means? What do you think? What do you think endure means? You don't know? What do you think? To keep going when it's hard. Okay, so we're going to read that Bible verse that's in green. Okay, so if you want to turn around, and grown-ups, you can read it with us. Okay, and it says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. And in yellow, it's from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Okay, so we're going to practice enduring. And I have Sawyer here to help me. Okay. So what do I have in my hand?
Candy.
Candy. Not just candy.
Gummy bears.
Gummy bears. Gummy bears. And not just gummy bears. Fresh gummy bears. Sawyer, will you hold these for me, please? And will you just kind of like give them a little squish and feel how soft they are? Would you open them, please, Sawyer, and give them a smell? Oh, they smell so good and fresh. Okay. Okay. And oh, Sawyer, do you want to eat them? Okay, you can't eat them yet, though. You have to sit there, and you have to just look at them. Okay, well, I talk about enduring. Are there things in our life that are hard?
Yes.
Like not eating candy when you're not supposed to? Are there things in life where they might be scary? Yes, we've had some big hurricanes in the country. Do you think that was a scary thing for people who had all of that water and flooding and damage to their houses? Was that scary? Are they enduring that right now while they have to wait for things? While they have to wait for things to be repaired? Are people ever sick? Yes, sometimes we get sick. Sometimes loved ones might get sick. And sometimes they get really sick and may have to go to the hospital. And do they have to endure being sick that way? Hey, Sawyer, how's that going over there? Is it kind of hard to wait? Okay. Now, I have a question for you. Is it kind of hard to wait there? Yes. Okay. Well, he's trying to taste them because it's so hard to wait and be patient. So instead of looking at those, would you hold them in your hand right here, but would you turn around and look at the cross instead? Okay. So now Sawyer has his attention on the cross. So in the Bible verse, we said, let us run with perseverance the race set before us, fixing our eyes on who?
Jesus.
So who is going to be with us when things are hard and scary?
Jesus.
If people are sick, is Jesus with us?
Yes.
Is he with the people who are sick too?
Yes.
Yes. If we're scared, is Jesus with us?
Yes.
Are there times where it's hard in our lives?
Yes.
Yes. But Sawyer, what are you noticing? Is it easier to not eat the gummy bears when you're focused on Jesus? Yes, it's easier to focus on Jesus. Or easier to, when you focus on Jesus, it becomes an easier thing to do. All right? So we are so thankful that Jesus is with us all the time and is with us in the hard times and in the scary times as we are enduring the race set before us. So can we pray? Dear Jesus, thank you for being with us. Thank you for being with us when life is scary. When it's hard, when we have to be patient, and when we have to endure. Thank you for giving us your strength and your grace and your love. And all these things we pray in your son's name. Amen. All right, now, don't worry. You don't have to endure for candy until your parents say so, okay? So I'm going to have some of my big kids help pass out some.
I could
Uh-huh. I even have some of my big kids pass out a gummy bear to everybody.
Well, today, we got a funny text. You know, it's this text about this rich young guy who comes to Jesus and he says, "What must I do to be saved?" And I really think from the context of the text, he was expecting Jesus to say, "You're good. You know, you've done everything you need to do. You're good. Don't worry about anything. You're in." Because, you know, what Jesus answered, of course, was, well, let's rattle through the commandments, right? You know, are you obeying authority? Are you sexually pure? Are you holding on to your wealth? Are you stealing from others? Are you lying or bearing false witness? Are you coveting after your neighbor's stuff? Let's just roll down the list of things that could possibly cause you to have problems getting to heaven. And the man said, I love this line, "All of these things I have done since childhood." Anybody here in that camp? I really want to meet one like that. I don't think it exists, but nevertheless, that's kind of the answer that he gave, which is a rather prideful and, not very self-aware answer. And then Jesus, of course, said, okay, one thing you lack. Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. And at that, the young man deflated and went away sad. And we kind of know the moral of this story, right? You know, if you're wealthy and you have a lot of stuff, you can become very attached to that stuff, right? And it's not just money, it's stuff. It's the shiny car, it's the big house, it's the electronic gadgets, it's the decorations, it's the pomp and circumstance of life. It is the stuff. And the problem with the stuff is that it distracts us from the giver of the stuff. And I think a wonderful illustration of this whole passage is exactly what happened in the first reading that the kids read, Jacob and Gavin read for us earlier. It was in Hebrews referring to something that happened in Deuteronomy, and it was basically when the children of Israel were led out of Egypt and provided for in so many ways. Remember when they walked out of Egypt on that night when the firstborn of all the Egyptians was killed? God told them, don't leave empty-handed. Go to the people and the Egyptians and ask them for their precious things, and they will give them to you because they are going to be so eager for you to leave town. And the children of Israel did not leave out of slavery empty-handed, but they left with wealth. They left with gold and gems and all kinds of valuable items as they walked out of town. And then when they got into the wilderness, you know, the first thing they realized is that they didn't pack enough food for the journey, and they were first thirsty. And did God provide for them? Yes, he provided for them sweet water that they could drink. And water from rocks and water. I mean, it was just unbelievable the way God provided for his people. And when they got hungry, how did he provide for them? Manna. And when that wasn't enough, quail. That he continually, miraculously provided for his people. When the Egyptian army came after them, he protected his people and defeated the Egyptian army using the sea. I mean, it's unbelievable the things that the children of Israel witnessed as they left Egypt. And now it is time to enter the promised land. It is time to enter the land that God promised to Abraham that your descendants will live in. And the children of Israel sent in some spies to check the land out. And I love this thing. It says this. It says they picked one bunch of grapes, just one, and that it took two men to carry it with a rod in between them to carry it out of the land. Is this rather fruitful? I mean, just a little bit, right? I mean, this is, when they talk about the land flowing with milk and honey, this is it, right? This beautiful land that God had given to his people, that he had promised to his people, and he said, your job is to go in and take possession of this land. But then the spies gave the rest of their report. The people who live there are giants. They're enormous. This land of milk and honey devours the people in it. It is scary. It is fearsome. It is terrifying. It is, if we go there, we will surely die. Great. Now the people have to choose, right? Where is their faith? Right? Are they going to trust that the God who already defeated the Egyptians, took away the Egyptians' army, took away the Egyptians' health, took away the Egyptians' food, took away all the Egyptians' security, defeated the army on the way out, this God who dominated a world power nation, are you going to trust him and risk the stuff you already have, right? Because if they lose the war, guess what? They're going to lose all their riches. They're going to lose, they could lose their very lives, right? I mean, there's risk involved in going into this promised land. Do you trust God? Or do you play it safe and trust the stuff God already gave you? You know what I'm saying? And it's easy for us to say, well, the children of Israel should have trusted God, right? But you see where that's going. Because don't we also cling to the stuff that God has given us? I mean, we live an amazing life. We really do. I mean, who here is wealthy? You all should raise your hand. You won the national lottery. You were born in the United States. Those of you who go to Guatemala with us understand this. Those of you who have visited any other third world nation understand this. Most by far of the people who are currently right now living in this planet are living in poverty, what we would consider abject poverty. I mean, poverty in our nation is wealthy there. You understand this? The families that we are building houses for when we go to Guatemala, many of them are living on $300 a month. They own almost nothing. Some of them have, if they're doing really well, have three sets of clothes. Most have one or two. They have nothing. And does that mean that they can't be distracted by their possessions? I have watched people who have so very little in life. And the things that they have, you would not want to buy at a garage sale. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they don't have much. But when floodwaters are rising, they will not leave their house because they are clinging to the things that they have. And they don't want to lose what they have. And it's amazing how much, and it makes sense to us, wouldn't you? I mean, think about what you would do to protect your house. What we do to protect our house, to take care of the things that we have, to not lose it, to maintain and to hold on to. Because... And the question is why? Because what? Why do we care for the things that we have? And how does the things that we have fit into this relationship that God has created with us? And the answer is this. Where does all your stuff come from? Well, where did everything that the children of Israel come from? Where did their possessions come from? I mean, it was very obvious and direct, right? I mean, it all happened within a month or so that the children of Israel didn't even own themselves. They were slaves in Egypt. They had no control of their lives. And then they had money given to them and freedom given to them and then provisions given to them and food and water and everything that they needed so that they could live their lives. And they were free. And even having witnessed the way God provided for them so miraculously, they clung to the stuff they had. They trusted the stuff instead of the giver of the stuff. Right? And now we all know, where did the stuff that we have come from? Well, you can say, well, it came from the store. And I say, okay, how'd you pay for it? You can say, well, I went to work. And I can say, well, who provided the job? Who provided the skills? Who provided your abilities to do anything, right? I mean, we trace it back to the beginning, and it all comes from God. And we know this. But I don't know if we actually, how can I say? We're not consistent with that knowledge, right? We don't live out that knowledge in our lives. We worry when we lose things. We are concerned because I need that thing to live my life. And I get anxious because that thing will not last forever, as all things will not. Right now, my van is my work truck. Okay, it is the thing that I use to go get lumber from the store so I can build stuff. It is the thing that I use to haul my saws and everything to my parents' house when I work on their house. It is the thing that I use for like so many tasks in my life. And well, I have low oil pressure. I don't know if you know what that means, but it means my engine's worn out. I hoped that it was just a bad oil pump, but I changed it and it didn't help. What it means is it's toast. Now, I don't know what comes next, okay? I mean, I don't know how I'm going to do all the things that I do without that thing. And so here's the temptation. I could become anxious. I could worry. I could get angry. I could get frustrated. I could sit around and obsess over how am I going to solve this problem, right? Is this the way God wants us to live our lives? Did God call us into a relationship with himself so that we could be anxious and angry and frustrated and obsess over stuff? Instead, you know what God called us into is a relationship with him, where he is God and I am not. Where he is in control and I'm just living the life that he's given me. And that I'll use whatever tools he puts in front of me to do the jobs that he has given me to do. And I trust that he will provide for me whatever I need for the next thing. And so it was kind of funny. I got done and I turned the engine on and I like was thinking, okay, here it is. Is the red light going to come on? Is the bell going to ding? And it did. It was a little disappointing. But I have learned. I mean, God's taught me a lot. I didn't grow up with a lot of stuff. And my parents taught me. They didn't just teach me with words. They taught me with actions. They taught me with prayer. They taught me with confidence and faith that, you know what? The world is crazy. Things happen. And God is still God. And then God blessed me with many years of not having a lot of stuff. I went to college, okay? And, you know, I joined the army. And I did all kinds of things to pay for college. And I had very little. But I always had enough. Insanely, I had enough. I got married and went to seminary. This is not the right order to do things. No, wait, I was even dumber. I got married, had a child, then went to seminary. Okay? So now I was responsible for people. I mean, and I had no ability to earn for my family. Do you know what my taxes were at the end of the year? $10,000 a year while I went to seminary with a wife and a child. And you know what? I graduated with no debt. Now, how on earth does that make any sense on paper? The answer is it doesn't. But God provided. He provided by taking bills away. There was one day that I got a check in the mail from an LWML from a church in Oklahoma. I'd never been to Oklahoma. I don't know these people. They don't know me. I don't know how they got my name, but they sent me a check. It was $380. I'll never forget it. My car broke down. I took my car in to get it fixed. Guess what it cost to fix? God has repeatedly taught me through life. I am God. You are not. I will not drop you. I created you. I redeemed you. I made you my own. You can trust in me. I have you. And I can't even tell you what a relief it is to live your life that way. It doesn't mean you get to live extravagantly. Trust me, that's not how this works. You live your life as well as possible. You understand that because of the relationship we have with God, because He is God and I am not, my possessions are not my own. They are God's that He has entrusted to me to care for. Why do we take care of our stuff? Because out of worshipful love to the God who provided for us, we care for the things He gives us. That's what that is. That we, if everything that I have belongs to God, I'm going to work harder to care for it than if it belonged just to me. Because now this is worship. This is me taking care of God's stuff. And the thing is that if I care for it and stuff, does that mean it lasts forever because I'm really taking care of it? Anybody hear of entropy? Put a new roof on your house. 20 years later, guess what you have to do? Especially in St. Louis, where the sun is just ridiculous all summer long, right? And it just cooks everything. Here's the thing. Everything breaks. Everything wears out. And so we can worry, or we can trust the God who created us and has brought us to this point. He has carried us to this point, and He says, I will not drop you. Does that mean life is going to be easy? Does that mean we're going to get everything we want? No. But does it mean that God is going to make sure that you have the resources to do the job for which He has called you? That you are going to be capable and able to do what God has led you into, and it, not because you are so capable, but because He makes your work fruitful. He makes it happen. He is bigger than our problems. And that sounds like something you tell your children, but let me tell you what, it is one of the most profound and amazing truths. And the thing is, this relationship with God is hard because it is so easy to get distracted. It is so easy to think, well, how am I going to have enough? I mean, you start thinking about the future and, you know, like my children are about to go to college. How am I going to come up with enough money to help my children go to college? We're going to retire at some point, or, you know, I mean, at some point I won't be able to work. How is that going to work? And we worry about the future. And the thing is this, what do we have to remember? Do we plan? Do we save? Are we responsible with the gifts that God has given us? What's the answer? Why? Because they're His and we take care of them, right? And He gives us stuff so that we can care for the people that He puts around us in our lives. So we save so that we will have enough to share with those who are in need. You know, we live our lives and we use our resources to worship Him and to... Do we mess up? Okay, now I told you when I did right. Now let me tell you when I did wrong. We go to Guatemala. And Sherry can testify to this one. It cost about $6,000 in like money for the VBS and building a house and all the crazy stuff we do down there, in addition to the costs that we pay for our own flights and our food and stuff while we're in the country. And there was a year I was absolutely obsessed about raising enough money to go to Guatemala because the time was coming. It was getting close. And I worried. I got anxious. I was afraid because I didn't want to fail. I would love to say that I was worried because of Guatemala, but let's face it, I'm not always that refined. I actually was more concerned that this thing that we put together wouldn't work, and it would be terribly embarrassing if we had to cancel the trip before we left because we didn't have enough money. And I was really, truly anxious and worried about it. And you know what? God taught me again, and he teaches like a father, not like a mom all the time. He teaches like a father. You know, every once in a while, he lets you sit in it. Just, I want you to get this. And he waited until the last possible minute. And how many days was it before we left? Like, less than a week before we left for Guatemala, we got a call from a church in Texas. And they had a little extra money that they wanted to contribute toward our trip. Just happened to be exactly what we needed. Folks, our relationship with God is not something we get to define. Our relationship with the stuff in our lives is not something that we get to define. It's all defined by Him. Remember, He is God. We are not. We follow Him. He provides. He leads. We follow. We use the things we have for His glory. And if God says, I want you to do something radical, I want you to go and do something that's going to put everything that you have at risk. Has this ever happened? You ever meet a missionary? You know, quit your job, pack up your family, you're going to another country. Try Africa. Do you know how to live in Africa? You know if you're going to have enough money. You know, are you going to be able to buy food? Can you speak the language? I mean, all of these problems and all of these things. And God calls people out of our comfortable lives into radically different things that risks everything. And if God were to call you, what's the only answer we can give? I'll go. Because the God who provided me in the first time is not going to drop me. He's going to provide for me again and again and again and again. And the comfort in our life, the peace that we can live in our life comes from knowing that He is God, that He is in control, that we are going to be okay. And it doesn't matter if you're sacrificing billions or if you're sacrificing the handful of money that's left you just a little tiny bit. God will not let you go. And folks, if you're sitting here going, yeah, well, I've already blown it. So have I. We've all blown this, right? And the thing is can we come back into a relationship with God? I mean, if we've blown it and where we've been living our lives completely thinking that we're in control and completely thinking that I've got to figure everything out and being angry and being upset and being frustrated and being angry all the time, can that relationship with God be restored? Yeah. Because once again, the relationship that we have with God is not defined by us, but it is defined by Him. And Jesus died on the cross to create that relationship. Every single one of us have fallen short of His glory. Every single one of us have done this wrong, as well as many other things wrong. But God has defined our relationship according to His grace. And He says, yes, you are not enough, but I am enough for you. that Jesus' death and resurrection is plenty of grace for you. Everything that you need. So that you can be restored into this relationship with God, this relationship that we need so much, this relationship that He has created for us, and we can rest in Him while working like crazy, trying to do all the things that God gave us to do in this world, being a mother, being a father, being a grandpa, being a grandma, being an employee, being, you know, whatever it is that you do in this world, the jobs that God has given you, you work like crazy, doing all of those things, bringing in glory to Him, trusting in Him to be enough, Him to be enough to forgive you, Him to be enough to empower you and give you the abilities, Him to be enough to bless your work and make it profitable, Him to be enough to provide for your earthly needs. This is the relationship God invites you into. Let us go into it receiving from the One who loved us enough to welcome us by His grace and His love. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, so much for Your incredible love and this relationship that we get to enjoy because of all that You have done. Lord, I pray that You would continue to work in a strong faith, Lord, faith that looks to You in all circumstances. Send Your Spirit to work in our hearts and minds and remind us, Lord, of this truth when we are worried, when we are angry, when we are anxious, so that we can have peace and rest in the knowledge of knowing, Lord, that You are enough. In Your name we pray. Amen.
And All other ground is sinking sand. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny.
Please stand as we profess our shared faith with the words of the explanation of the second article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he has risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Lord, we pray that you would help us to fix our eyes on you. When worries and doubts and anxieties come, let us look only to you. Help us to never cling so tightly to stuff that we let go of you, but rather help us to see how you hold us in your hands and that you will never let us go. Lord, we pray for people in our community and people that we know and love who have ailments. We pray for Joan Caston, who had her broken hip repaired this morning. We pray that the surgeons were able to do well and that you would help her in her recovery. We pray for little Cameron Wheeler with all of his health issues that's going on. I pray that you would guide the doctors and all the team that is mindful of his medical needs, that he would get the best treatment that he can. Pray that you be with his parents, Ramsey and Brandon, as they are caring for him. And as well, for the grandparents, Jen and Mark, as they are supporting that whole family. I pray that you would be with Chance McCarthy, that you would guide the doctors for how to best address the brain tumor, that he would get the treatment he needs, you'd restore him to health. Lord, we pray that you'd be with Randy Veland, that he would respond well to the chemotherapy treatments, and that he would be restored. And Lord, we pray for Kim Becker, that you continue to give her healing and strength, and that she can have full mobility with her arm. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be good stewards of the things that you have entrusted to our care. Help us to be good stewards of the relationships that you have entrusted to our care. And help us to be good stewards of our very selves, our body, our mind, and our soul, that all the things that we say and do might be pleasing to you and bring you honor and glory. All these things we pray in your name and pray as you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Far away, rising.
rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, a glorious day.
My dear friends, once again, our God has met us here. The God who is God and we are not, the one who, that we depend on for everything that we need for this life, and the one who never lets us down. He came again, and through this meal, he gives us forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. He nourishes our faith and prepares us to go back out into the world and live a life of worship to him. Our God is faithful. And so as he is faithful, receive his blessing. May the... what is it? I need my book now all of a sudden. What's up with that? The Lord bless you. I got my dad. I got a crib sheet. This is good. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together. Oh, the children. Sit down. All right. Again, I didn't have my book. Anyway, all right. Now it's the kids going to come up. Outstanding kids, it is time for you guys to come forward and we get to hear you guys share your faith with us.
All right. Thank you, students. There you go. Thank you, students. You can go back to your seats. That was wonderful. A couple of quick announcements, and then I'll let you get on your way. Mostly highlighting things in the bulletin. So we have an insert on family Lego building nights. It's playing with Legos and pizza. What's not to like? So I encourage you to look at that and sign up if that sounds appealing to your family. On the other side, this is for everybody. St. Mark's Lutheran School invites you. There's a dime to donate at Culver's tomorrow night. And so I encourage all of you, you got to eat dinner, you know, so might as well go there and support a good cause. Also want to highlight the insert for the Veterans Day. So on Monday, November 11th, there's going to be a special chapel that's taking place, and there's going to be an opportunity to honor veterans. And so if that's something you're interested in, I invite you to take a look at that insert. Two more quick things. One is we have First Communion training starting next Sunday. And so if you are 6th grade through 8th grade and you have not yet done that training, I encourage you to consider signing up for that. And lastly, of course, today is Trunk or Treat, in case you couldn't tell by the wonderful costumes. The trunks should be ready to go now over by the gym parking lot. Want to note that we have hot dogs and chili in the gym. There's bounce houses. There's an inflatable slide. There's glitter tattoos and a balloon artist. So lots of fun. So see you all over there. Otherwise, I pray have a blessed week. Thank you for coming.